Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios for this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. A full show ahead today. Thanks for joining us. We gave Pastor Jeff, our faith and culture contributor, a bit of a break during what is one of his busiest weeks of the year, Holy Week, last week. We're going to do a bit of a debrief, a look back, how the Easter weekend went for Pastor Jeff and Hope City Church. Talk a little bit about Holy Week and just kind of catch up from the week that was, as we always do here for our faith and culture segment on Tipping Point. At the bottom of the hour, Tucson Vice Mayor Nikki Lee will join us via our live line. A busy council meeting yesterday that covered multiple topics around public safety and water. Lots to talk with the vice mayor about. We will talk about two big topics in the city and really now the county here in Pima County with the vice mayor at the bottom of the hour. So that's our show today. Stay with us through the end. And here to kick us off now is Pastor Jeff Flogs. And Pastor Jeff, good morning to you. Good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Zach. A quick shout out to my nephew who turns 16 today. So he doesn't have a permit yet. Everyone's safe, but probably need to pay attention.
But yeah, pay attention. Certainly put those phones away. Pay attention to the road. Pastor Jeff's nephew is about to get on it. So congratulations. Happy birthday to him,
to
Jeff. Yes, to Mason. Absolutely. Pastor Jeff, you know, I think some would find it ironic that we weren't doing a faith and culture segment during Holy Week. But Holy Week is a crazy week for you. It's a big time, a busy time for your church, for the church. But obviously, we want to debrief now. So how was your Easter weekend? What were some of the things that were going through your mind and you talking through with your church during this really important time for the Christian faith, for sure?
Yeah, and I think in our second segment, we're getting into more of like the experience itself, which was absolutely hilarious. If you've got the time, stay tuned for that. But I think during the first segment is more of like the brevity of the moment, whether it's Good Friday or whether it is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. I think the question that we're asking more practically, I don't come from a church background, for those that know my story. So for me, this is all kind of, it's fresh from the perspective of somebody who didn't grow up in that culture. And so for me, it's always significant to be able to look at scriptures in like where the rubber meets the road kind of way. And I think it was 2018, I had the chance to visit Israel and actually stand in the Garden of Gethsemane. And
wow,
that's the olive groves where Jesus was taken into custody. And so the question that we are asking, that we're sharing this morning, is what is your Gethsemane moment? What is that situation that maybe you're experiencing right now where you're feeling in a place of arrest, where you're feeling overwhelmed or consumed, and what things do we glean from how Jesus responded to that moment?
When we say that, let's back up for just a sec, Pastor Jeff, and before we get there, this is a test for Tom Callahan on the other side of the glass, for whom we have assigned the Johnny Cash song. I always get this wrong, Tom. I've been everywhere. There we go.
Yes, you know, that's right.
So I've there been everywhere go. Is the Johnny Cash song for Mr. Tom Callahan. You name dropped a big one, Pastor Jeff, and that was you've name dropped a big country. You've been to Israel. Tom Callahan, have you been to Israel?
I've not.
Ah, so you've not been everywhere.
No, I've not been anywhere in the Middle East. So that
okay.
Yeah,
got it. Different conversation for a different day. Pastor Jeff, it's on my bucket list as well. I just think it'd be an incredible experience. Let's back up for a second, Pastor. What is Holy Week? When we talk about Holy Week, Or Easter is also called Resurrection Sunday. I think a lot of folks know that piece of it. But what does Holy Week account for? What are the different steps? And when you say Gethsemane, walk us through a bit of that timeline.
Holy Week begins with the Sunday before, and I mean, you could even go back to the inception of Lent, which is 40 days preceding Easter, and so it begins as a period of reflection those 40 days before. Mardi Gras is kind of a pivotal moment in the calendar of our nation, as you know, the kickoff of indulgence leading into all of that Lent, certainly not a part of Holy Week, but it's interesting as you think about the way our nation likes to celebrate. Mardi Gras is one of those moments that lead into the period of reflection. So Holy Week in and of itself, Palm Sunday is the Sunday before Easter, is the moment in the calendar where Jesus enters into the city, and literally the people lay palm branches at his feet in acknowledgement of who he is as their quote-unquote king. And then Maundy Thursday is what some may acknowledge as the Passover in their tradition, faith tradition. And then Good Friday would be the period of what we're talking about now with Gethsemane and being arrested, taken into custody, tried, not found guilty, but crucified nonetheless. And then that leads into Resurrection Sunday, which is the Sunday where those who would follow him recognize that the tomb was empty and that death was defeated through his resurrection on the cross.
So that leads us to, before we go to break here, Pastor Jeff, some of your reflections on Holy Week, processing personal moments of suffering. There's this incredible moment where the theme of Scripture is that Jesus is on earth to head to the cross. Like, that was the plan, and here he is in this garden a couple of days before we celebrate Easter, asking to get out of it. Basically, walk us through that timeline. This seems to be your major reflection on Holy Week, and then we'll get to the segment where you debrief on what was a bit of a comical, not comical on the topic, but you had an interesting Easter weekend. But on the serious side, walk us through kind of your main reflection of this past week we've just gone through.
Well, I think for those that have been in the church of Scripture, there's the moment where Jesus has to submit as someone that's recognized by most as fully God, fully man, that he lays down his life as the ultimate sacrifice for humanity. So he's able to find his way out of this situation, but he submits entirely. And in that moment, just recognizing that he's going to be completely cut off from Father God, as those in the faith community would know God in their relationship with each other. But the comment that is made is, not my will, but your will. And there are those moments in my life, looking at, personal application, where the situation, just to put it blunt, absolutely sucks. And could there be another way? Could I find a back door to get out of the situation that I'm in? In Jesus' situation, Peter, his friend, one of his followers, has the gall to take the sword and to lop off the ear of one of the people coming after him. And in that moment, Jesus heals the ear and says, essentially, simmer down, Peter. And you think, here's a person that has all power to be able to get out of the situation, and yet yields for me and for you, for us. And so for me, there are those moments, and I'm sure we all have them right now, where it's like, if I could get out of this, I would, but could there be something greater that happens in my persevering and working through the circumstances that I'm in? And certainly through Resurrection Sunday, we know that we have hope beyond the circumstances we face in this lifetime, because Jesus did what he did.
Every Wednesday, we take a couple of moments to sit down with faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Locks, and we talk about faith. We talk about culture and the combination of both. For a healthy community life to thrive, we need reference points outside itself, reference points of truth and a conception of the common good. We started these conversations together during a very difficult, for so many, 2020, where I think we often are looking, what is that bigger picture? What are those reference points outside of this stuff that we are talking about? So we do a faith and culture segment with Pastor Jeff Loxton in the midst of all the politics, policies, issues, ideas that we talk about. Certainly we gave Pastor Jeff a week off for Holy Week. So we are debriefing now on the back end, some thoughts, some reflections, and Pastor Jeff's experience and his church's experience going through Holy Week and of course, Easter Sunday on Sunday. We're going to go to our first break of the hour. When we come back, we'll finish this conversation with Pastor Jeff. On the other side of that segment, Tucson Vice Mayor Nikki Lee will be on to talk about public safety in the city of Tucson and water in the city and county, two vital topics. And we're glad to have the Vice Mayor on in just a minute. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
The next generation of talk. Tipping Point with Zach Kintzer, 1030, The Voice.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in The Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429. Equal housing opportunity.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studios. I'm your host, Zach Yentz. You're listening to Tipping Point, daily in-depth news conversation and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We're partway through our conversation this morning with our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Locks, and debriefing Holy Week at Hope City Church. When we're done after the break, Tucson Vice Mayor Nikki Lee will join for the balance of the hour, talk about public safety and water. So good show today. Pastor Jeff, tell us about Holy Week at Hope City Church. How did it go for you guys?
Yeah, you know, this year we were looking at the preservation of the volunteers that are there and longevity of, you know, the church will be celebrating 3 years in August. And so rather than try and tackle a sunrise service Easter morning, we hosted a Good Friday in the courtyard, envisioned this whole campfire experience for those that have followed the story. Peter was warming himself by the fire as he denies Jesus three times, said he never would, and yet did. And it, you know, you and I were talking about it before now, and just kind of some of the things that you envision as great, great things to dream about, but then poorly executed. And so if you can imagine the worship team there in the courtyard and people hanging out and having a good time as the winds kick up in Tucson in the evening and the smoke wafting into the face of the worship team as they're gasping for air trying to belt out the worship songs. I was just like, let's not do that with actual fire again this next year if we choose to do it. But in all of that, we had the cross that was taken down and gave people a moment to be able to reflect on what's holding you back and keeping you from fully following Jesus in this time. Writing those down on the sheets of paper and actually nailing them to the cross was kind of a sobering moment for Good Friday.
Very cool. And that was the first Good Friday that you've done, you know, since you started in 2018. You know, I saw a lot of innovative ways that Easter Sunday was done around the community. What did that look like at Hope City Church?
We had, leading into this week, we didn't have the youth represented immediately. You know, that comes over time, but we had a handful of children that we said would they be bold enough to lead a song for us. You know, the cuteness factor is always there with the little guys. But I'm telling you, our family watched this video replay no less than five times in the car afterwards, because we had one young lady show up that hadn't been there for several weeks. So she had no way of being able to practice. And she boldly steps up to take on the task. And the first moments of this video, if you go to our YouTube channel at Hope City Church Tucson and check it out, it's just the awkwardness of what do I do? And quickly she just finds her place at what I'm calling the ode to river dance, as she has these frequent karate kicks to her left. And the girl next to her is saying, "What in the world are you doing?" And I think it was just one of those moments where the church just kind of rallied around what was happening there and enjoying the moment together. That was the kickoff Sunday morning.
No pun intended, right?
Correct.
Yeah, you know, there's a reason why Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." He was a big fan of little kids, because there's no shame, there's no inhibition. Let's go do this thing, and I don't care who's watching. What was your message? What was your specific message to the church on this Easter Sunday?
Well, yeah, and I think the goal for us is to always leave people with something tangible, something to take away. And certainly, you know, as we look into scripture, I think this is a conversation you and I are entertaining for upcoming segments and the decline of participation in the local church. And I think, you know, with some foreshadowing here right now, a lot of that is because people that show up on Sunday don't behave any differently Monday through Saturday. And so for us, it was, how is life going to be different tomorrow and throughout the rest of the week? How are you going to be more compassionate? How are you going to be more patient? How are you going to be more responsive to the needs of the people around you because of today? And so that was the core of the message, and certainly one that I have to look at every moment in the pressures that I face. And we would encourage listeners right now to say, what does a more compassionate, more responsive, more patient life look like for you today? And so that was the core of what was discussed. It was cool. There's a graphic, an image that our listeners may have seen on Instagram, where there's this picture of a lion juxtaposed with this image of Christ bearing a crown of thorns. That's really impressionable. That, you know, people can go to our Instagram page and check out here. But that was the core of the message and an image to really seal that.
Pastor Jeff, you know, this is often a time, as you thought, as you say, to think about life change and care for our community, this kind of pivotal moment for the church every year. What are some of the things that Hope City is doing in practical ways for volunteering or for caring for our community? How does that fit into this time for you?
Well, I mean, one simple one, and we try and provide the low-lying fruit, the people in our immediate community. You know, they don't have access to a lot of resources. They still want to help. They still want to contribute. Is simply the pantry, the local pantry on our campus that is hosted by Tucson Neighborhood Food Pantry and God's Vast Resources. They had expressed a need for toilet paper, amongst other things. And so we just felt like that was a simple way to be able to give back. And so the toilet paper has just been coming through the doors. For those that are listening to this and saying, that's easy for me to be able to contribute to. This is for our community. You can leave those donations either at our church or at the Tucson Neighborhood Food Pantry. The other one that I'll share briefly that we're considering talking about in the future segment as well is the communities, the Welcome Center at Casa Elitas, and what does it look like for the church to be the church in a very potentially divisive conversation about supporting our migrant guests that are here in Tucson. And so we had a chance to visit that this last week and see what some of those more imminent needs are there at the Welcome Center at Casa Elitas.
You know, Pastor Jeff, I appreciate you sharing what happened at Hope City Church this past weekend. I know many of our listeners will have their own experiences, even as you and I took a week off last week during Holy Week, which has four or five themes, stop-off points during the week. So many of our listeners had those experiences. I'm quoting you now. You said something as we close here. Whatever those experiences look like, now is a time when the community needs us to be more compassionate, more patient, more responsive to the needs of the people around us. Any quick follow-up to that? That those are your words, Pastor Jeff, that you would encourage us as we head out here on this Wednesday.
Yeah, I would just say that this segment is not as much about Hope City Church. It's about our community. It's about our city. And I think whether you're a part of a faith community or thinking about it, there are so many ways for us to band together and to contribute towards the betterment of our city, towards the betterment of our communities. And so my encouragement to those listening is to actively look for ways to do that. And it's exciting to see what's happening right now in a very difficult situation for our city, for our nation.
Pastor Jeff Loxton, Hope City Church, thanks for taking a few moments with us every week to walk through kind of our faith and culture topics. You're our faith and culture contributor. You know, for healthy community life to flourish, we need reference points outside of just that, reference points of truth and conception of the common good. Pastor Jeff leads us on that for just a few short moments every week as we walk through some incredibly tense and difficult times as a community. Pastor Jeff, stay safe and healthy, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Zach.
Tucson Vice Mayor Nikki Lee up after the break.
A Bloomberg Money Minute and CBS News at the bottom of every hour. 10:30, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in The Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them. and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID, 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studios. If you're just now joining us, I'm your host, Zach Yenser, for this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We're now going to turn the corner towards the conversation that will take us through the balance of this hour, and that is with Tucson Vice Mayor Nikki Lee. Good morning, Vice Mayor. Good to have you on. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Zach. Thank you for the invitation. Always good to chat with you, my friend.
Yes, and I know this part of drive time is a little bit more difficult sometimes to break free in your calendar. So all the more grateful for you carving out some time with us. And, you know, we scheduled this a bit back, but it happens to be on the heels of what I thought was, I used the word meaty, study session, council meeting yesterday in the city of Tucson that dealt with some really heavy topics around public safety and water. And those are kind of the two things, Vice Mayor, that I wanted to mention. But first of all, congratulations on being named by Biz Tucson magazine as one of 20 rising stars to watch in 2021. Well deserved. So congratulations.
Well, thank you, and congratulations to you, too, and all of your work with Tucson Young Professionals. I saw the correlation of what it was at 15 of the 20 of us were also part of that organization.
That's right.
So
yes.
It's amazing work that you're doing, and it's a great group of people to be aligned with. So congratulations to you as well, Zach.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited by the next generation of Tucsonans, although in some ways I feel like your star has risen more than some on you know, of us on the list. That's not an age thing. It's just you're doing good work, and it's a good community to be a part of. Vice Mayor, I want to start with this clip and get your thoughts. It's about a minute from study session yesterday. A few words from Tucson Police Chief Chris Magnus. Let's play that clip, and we'll jump in here.
I appreciate that, because I'm really worried. I'll be candid. The upcoming year of staffing, if our attrition rate continues as it is, as we've seen in the past year, if this continues, and our right now, for example, we have 14 people in the academy. That's ridiculous. We should have between 40 and 50 in the academy. So if we continue this trend, even of, let's say, attrition rate of 12, and if we continue this kind of attrition and have just, let's say, 20 people in the academy, by the end of this time in April of 22, we're going to be down to 707 officers, and that would be just, I mean, now we're talking about moving into the upper 600s. We cannot continue to provide services that we'd like to do at those kind of staffing levels.
Tucson Vice Mayor Nikki Lee, how did we get to this point in your mind. You've just appeared on the scene, so I thought I could ask you this question in a different way than maybe someone who's been there for a while. How did we get to this point where we have a fraction of who we need at the front of the pipeline, and we're losing officers on the back end, getting to a point where we are 200 to 300 officers behind just kind of the average number of our size? How did we get here, and what do we do to get out of this situation?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to just make it known that this is a very critical issue on my radar as well. You know, knocking on doors when I was running for office, I heard time and time again the concerns that citizens had with response times, and that's a direct reflection of staffing and the availability of officers to be able to respond to different types of calls. So I'm very, very much tracking that this is a critical issue that we have to get in front of. One thing that is important to note is that, you know, in the last budget, Mayor and Council approved what was requested, that was the ability to fund 884 officers. So we know that this is a challenge nationwide for people who are willing to step into this really difficult, dangerous profession. You know, a lot of times I compare it to military service, and we have such a small percentage of military members, you know, who are willing to step up and put on a uniform and not know if they're going to come home at night. So it's a very difficult profession, and it's understandable why people, you know, might be reluctant to want to enter that profession. So this is something that we have to take a really, really hard look at and understand. Pay obviously is a big component of that. That's something that we're actively talking about. One of the pieces that I particularly want to dig into a little bit more, you know, we're talking about total compensation. We're looking at other cities similar in size, competitive, quote, unquote, cities to us where officers could leave and get paid better. What do those things look like? But I think culture is a piece that we haven't scratched the surface on. You know, working in an organization, regardless of the type of work that you do, where you feel supported, is absolutely critical. Working somewhere where you feel like people have your back is absolutely critical, not just your team members, but all the way up the chain. So these are things that I think are important factors that we have to talk about, and we have to make changes to support and create an environment and a culture within the organization and the department where people want to come be officers and stay.
Vice Mayor, Tucson Vice Mayor Nikki Lee. I thought it was interesting. I didn't get to, you know, sit and watch all, what was it, yesterday, 6-7 hours straight through. But I also didn't soundbite it either. I got to see, I think, what were some very important chunks. And one of the things I didn't hear was the culture question. There was a lot, and I'll ask you about pay in a minute. There was a lot about pay. But the blind spot yesterday to me seemed to be that there wasn't a conversation around culture. And I thought that it was interesting that we went from the pay question and transitioned right into the community, rethinking community public safety piece. Those two things are sometimes, you know, at odds. I think one of the organizations that is on the cutting edge of what seems to be Tucson's thought process on police reform talks a lot about resistance and dismantling. And so is it your assertion that maybe the culture question of do officers feel supported within the department and within the community, is that, do you feel like that doesn't exist today, and that's something that you would want to focus on more? I just want to understand why you went there in answering my first question.
Yeah, I went there, Zach, because I do feel like it's a big missing piece of this conversation. And when we started having this conversation a couple of months ago, and we gave direction to do a market analysis across the entire City of Tucson organization to look at where we need to get people up to market rate pay in general, I kept coming back to a comprehensive view of why people want to work where they work. Why do people want to come work for the City of Tucson? And for me, as an employee myself, why do I want to work somewhere? It is pay. Of course it's pay. People have to be able to provide for themselves and their families. But it's much more than that. And I think that we know that millennials and other generations specifically have different reasons. A lot of it is mission focused, right? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And I think that we are missing a huge piece of just human nature if we fail to look at this thing from a holistic perspective. And culture is a huge piece of it. And so that is why I have tried to bring that forward to get everybody to look at why, just in general, police officers, firefighters, our environmental services folks, our city clerk staff, why are they working for the city of Tucson and how do we keep them here?
We're talking with the City of Tucson Vice Mayor Nikki Lee. Vice Mayor, one last question on this, and then we'll shift to water after the break. If I have my numbers straight, it looked like Tucson's police officers make about 14% less than the kind of average market rate, and that was I think as City Manager Ortega mentioned, a fully loaded number. So I think City Manager Ortega was making the case that does include benefits. I don't know if you have a different view, but that includes benefits and that it's a 14% less than the region, but also nationally. Is it a priority to you personally to close that gap and to be competitive? And if so, what is the quickest way to do that? What is the path forward to closing that market rate pay gap?
Yeah. Well, I do believe that the numbers that we saw are accurate. I believe that the city manager said there were two different data sources that were very, very near to each other in terms of that number. So I do have faith that that number is accurate and it gives us the whole picture from a financial compensation perspective. And it is a priority for me personally to close that gap, not just for our police officers, but for, you know, our firefighters, for our IT folks, not just because I'm an IT nerd and they're near and dear to my heart, but they were 20%. Under market rate, and just being an IT person myself in the private sector, I know how competitive it is to find top talent. That's one of my pet projects, you know, is making Tucson a place where people want to come and work and play. And how do we attract that talent and keep that talent here? So we have some significant pay gaps in the city clerk's office. There's also, I think, I don't want to throw the number out there, but it was between the 14% and the 20%. For IT. So we have some market gaps all across the board that we need to address, including police. And I think that the city manager has a good plan in front of us that he showed us that looks several years into the future on how we can make incremental progress toward closing that gap while remaining financially sound as a city. So I believe that we'll get there for sure.
What is that, a real quick follow-up question, what does that look like in the next year? In other words, is your sense from the city manager that it's a five-year path to closing that 14% gap, not to mention what that gap will be in, again in 5 years? Is this a gap that can be closed halfway in the next FY budget? Give us a sense of what the next 12 to 18 months look like solving this problem.
Yeah, Zach, I don't have his spreadsheet in front of me from the meeting last night where he put up kind of a, I think, out to 2026. With some different assumptions on percent staffing by department. I don't have that slide in front of me. The context was pretty stacked, as you said last night, lots of documents to go through. So I don't know the exact number of what we're projecting for an increase for this upcoming budget year, but that's something I can get over to you when I can locate that document and when we have that, I'm going to have that in front of me.
Yeah, that would be great. I think what is the plan forward is something I'm certainly curious about. I think overall it was $33 million is what the city manager's team said that the city is entirely short of in terms of pay equity. That is, in my mind, not to say that the city has been trying to short shrift employees, certainly across all the departments. That is just to say, look, for whatever reason, we've made decisions that put us in a place where we're $35 million in the hole. And I think figuring out what does it look like to fill that gap is a huge task. And I think on the public service side, it's such an urgency behind that. Vice Mayor Nikki Lee, City of Tucson, you've given us not one but two segments. We're going to take a break and come back for that second segment with you. I want to talk about water, an interesting conversation that's come up kind of just recently. It's been on the back burner, and now it's on the forefront as it compares to what do residents of the City of Tucson pay and proposals of what do unincorporated county residents pay for Tucson water. We'll be right back.
Miss a show? Check out the podcast at kvoi.com.
It's a new year, and if you're like me and my family, we're thinking a lot about our financial plan for 2021. Savings, reducing debt, growing wealth, planning for the future, it's a lot, and often really confusing. If that's you too, give Jason Robinson at MassMutual a call to set up a plan for your money that meets your goals. Jason and his team have decided to reduce their fees during this first quarter to make sure that anyone who wants a strategy and accountability can get it. Call 274-3749 to get started and tell them Zach at Tipping Point sent you.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studios for part two of our conversation this morning with Tucson Vice Mayor Nikki Lee. Vice Mayor, something that has been kind of bubbling on the back burner for a couple of years now has come into full view on the front burners here. A bit of a conflict arising between the city and the county on water rates, with the county claiming that a 1970s intergovernmental agreement has the county managing sewer and the city managing water. And for a time now, the city has been offering water rates equally, at equal rates to both the city of Tucson and to unincorporated county residents. The city council is now saying we want to be done with that. We want to have differential water rates where over a period of time, we will raise the rates on unincorporated county residents. Vice Mayor, I've heard some approach this from a numbers and IGA standpoint. There was also kind of some trails at the city council meeting yesterday that saw this as a climate change and social justice issue. Overall, it seems to me a little bit of an odd time to start a water war, as some might call it. What's behind all this in your mind, and where do you stand on the issue as of today?
Yeah, well, it is a big topic, as you said, Zach, and clearly a very passionate topic for a lot of people. And so I can just really speak to what I'm specifically interested in with this issue. And for me, the way that I see it, to take any of the emotion out, is really representing the Southeast part of the east side of town. We've got a lot of unincorporated area. We've got Vail, Corona de Tucson, and I see a lot of dollars being left on the table at the state, a lot of investment, a lot of money that could be coming to our region, whether these areas decide to incorporate on their own and pull those dollars into their new town, or they've come into the city of Tucson. Whatever the case may be, I just see a lot of opportunity to bring those funds that are deserved to the region into the region through annexation and incorporation. And that is what gets me, you know, really interested in looking at how we could structure something to encourage that to happen. So that's really my thoughts on it. And in looking at this, I was very pragmatic in wanting to understand, you know, what other cities are doing this? Are we off base by asking about this? You know, are we out of line here? And as we were briefed yesterday, looking at Phoenix, Flagstaff, Chandler, Yuma, Scottsdale, Tempe, the only large city in the area that they evaluated that doesn't have a differential rate is Peoria. And the rates vary from, you know, I think the lowest was about 10% up to 50%, and Yuma was at a random 33%. So I don't think that it's unusual at all that we look at something like this right now.
Vice Mayor Nikki Lee, I think the question I've had hearing that argument, and I think you're right, I think there is the argument of, is this an annexation incorporation stick and carrot, or is this a social justice climate issue? And you hear different members of council kind of approaching it from different angles. We'll have Councilmember Paul Cunningham and Supervisor Rex Scott, Vice Mayor, on the show together tomorrow just to focus on this issue, and I'm really looking forward to it. But, you know, I want to play the devil's advocate and get your thoughts. To me, comparing Maricopa to Pima is apples and oranges. Maricopa is only 6% unincorporated. So when Scottsdale and other municipalities, for example, are offering differential water rates, those are very specific situations that cover, you know, up to 6% of geography. The devil's advocate position would say for, what, 30, 40 years, we've had this agreement where Tucson is the water provider. This is what the other side would say, Vice Mayor, and that in a county that, for whatever reason, has had an allergy to incorporation, we're very much unincorporated, and you can't compare that to other cities in the state. No doubt you've heard that devil's advocate position as well. What would you say to that, Vice Mayor?
Yeah, we're definitely different from Maricopa County, and I love it, and I'm glad that we are, because Pima County is awesome and Tucson is awesome. But, you know, I would say that for me, in looking at how we would move forward with something like this, it has to be slow. It has to be incremental, because I think that if we were to get to a point where we can start to incorporate, start to annex, it's going to be a long play, right? It's going to take a long time to get people to incorporate or annex if they so choose. So for me, I hear that. I understand that. We also do have the other pieces that my colleagues have talked about that I definitely care about as well, being able to invest more in the water infrastructure, specifically the stormwater piece. Not a lot of people might know this, but I spent a couple of years working on stormwater management software in the agriculture space, which was really interesting and fun. But we lose a lot of water if we're not able to capture stormwater. And so by being able to invest in that and capture that water and put it directly underground to be able to use it later is really important to our long range ability to be sustainable and provide water for our residents for the long-term future. So I see all of those pieces and value in all of the conversations and topics that have come up by my colleagues as well. So I think that's just where my head's at on it, Zach.
Vice Mayor and Nikki Lee, want to fit in a quick call. We'll make it really quick here. Mayor Romero yesterday mentioned how, in her mind, things have changed since the 70s. We have a call here that I want to grab because I think it's interesting compared to, are we in a similar place now that we might have been in the 70s? Rick, 30 seconds, if you can ask your question. I wanted to fit you in here.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. I appreciate it, Vice Mayor. Listen, we are in a parallel to the middle 70s. In the late 60s and 70s, when my father was involved, and before he passed, we had a business mentality. That mentality transcended. We do not have one business owner on the city council, number one. Number two, the police department was basically under the reality. They almost went on strike. It was so bad. Number three, the water recall was the pivot to, again, try to transition back to some kind of sensibility. You talked about values. Well, the values then are the same values now, and people do not want to be part of Tucson with the value system that the city of Tucson and the leadership is providing.
Rick, I appreciate it. I want a little less than 2 minutes, Vice Mayor. Your thoughts on that? I think it's an interesting question.
Well, I appreciate Rick calling in and providing that, you know, historical piece, because that's been really important to understanding what has happened in the past, so that we can obviously learn from that. I do hear that, Rick. I have heard that being on the east side, hearing why people who are closer to Vail would not want to annex into the city. People in Corona de Tucson maybe not wanting to annex into the city, and why. I think those are really important, and I think that's why we have to listen and understand all of the members of our community and understand the perspectives that people have, because we are a very diverse community. You know, we have people with different priorities. And although I'm not a business owner personally, I am an MBA business-minded person that works in the private sector, so I do try to bring that perspective forward as much as possible, because I know it can add tremendous value in the role that I'm in. So I appreciate you bringing that up, Rick, because that is a very real piece of, again, culture. Like you said, why do people want to either work for the city or be a part of the city? Absolutely.
Vice Mayor Nick Ely, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for carving out this time with us. Seen a lot of neighborhood engagement conversations that you've set up, and love what your office is doing. Folks can follow you on Facebook and social media. We'll love to do this again soon. Again, appreciate your time, Vice Mayor, and your service to the city. And it's just great to do this thing with you here in Tucson. So I appreciate you.
Thanks, Zach.
Vice Mayor Nikki Lee. That does it for us today. Hugh Hewitt coming up next. Bill Buckmaster after that. When we come back tomorrow, County Supervisor Rex Scott, Council Member Paul Cunningham, City of Tucson. We're going to continue the water conversation, that and more, when we return. Tucson, stay safe and healthy out there. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, take care.